Now let's meet the Democratic candidates in Senate District M, Harry Crawford and Bette Davis. And we're going to start with opening statement of 1 minute from Harry Crawford.
Thank you, Michael. And thank you, KKM, for having us. This last 3 months has been a lot of fun. The best part of a campaign for me is the going door to door and meeting all the new people, especially in this new district that we have. I still have my home neighborhood, but basically I've been going all over Eagle River and meeting a lot of people that I haven't met before, and hearing new ideas and new complaints and all about the roads, transportation issues, health care, retirements, all sorts of things. But basically this is going to be a campaign about where we're going for the future of our state.
Okay, Bette Davis, a 1 minute opening statement.
Thank you very much. I'm also pleased to be here again today. This has been quite a few times that I've been here. I'm looking forward to the end of this particular primary. Actually, I have a opposition, as you know. But the reason I'm running for the seat this time around is because I feel there's a lot of work that I have not completed that I might be able to complete should I return to the Senate. I had the opportunity for the last 6 years to be in a coalition. We call ourselves the Working Group. And during those 6 years, we have done marvelous things for this state. And I would like to see the coalition stay in place. For that reason, I would love to serve in the City M. I have represented Eagle River before. It's been years ago, but I'm willing to do it again. I thank you for having me here, and I look forward to the debate.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to start the questioning, and my first question will be for Mr. Crawford. Mr. Crawford, Senator Davis is a many-term incumbent. She has been in at least a decade, and you served with her and know her very well. Why do you want to unseat somebody who's been in for quite a number of years and had quite a career?
Well, I've had much the same career, representing many of the same people, but under redistricting, this is a very new district, and Senator Davis's base of support was on the other side of the House district for Sharon Cisna, and my side is a much more conservative side. I've won that 5 times. And it's been very difficult for Senator Davis in that area. Now, they've taken away her base of support, and we've added Eagle River, which is even more conservative, and I do very well in both places. So I want to preserve that Senate
You'll
coalition.
You'll have to wrap it up right there. Okay, Senator Davis, 30 seconds to comment on what you've heard.
Well, it's quite interesting to hear the things that he's just said. It is true that he served in this House for 10 years. But I'd like for the public to know that not only have I served in the Senate, I've served in the House also. 6 years, left there, went back to the school board, and then ran in 2001, and I've been in the Senate ever since. I was thinking if Harry was interested in running, and he says the district that he lives in at the present time is the one that he's won for 5 times, why did he not sign up to run for that particular House seat? I don't see what he brings to the table that I haven't already bought. So I just let it go at that.
Okay, thank you. Let's go to Daisha Eaton.
Oh, this is a question for Senator Davis. Is there a gas line in our future? That seems to be what everybody wants to know.
I certainly hope there's a gas line in our future. We've been talking about it for many, many years, many, many months, and nothing is happening. The big line, the small line, but we do know something has to happen. We need to do more than talk. We need to put some action into place. And so I hope it is in our future.
Harry Crawford.
It's imperative that we get a gas line. To get more oil into the pipeline, we have to have a place to put the gas. We are choked on gas up there. We only have the ability to put 8.5 billion cubic feet back into the ground each day. And to get more oil into the pipeline, we've got to have a gas pipeline.
Okay, my question will be for Mr. Crawford. Mr. Crawford, The cost of health care is exorbitant to many Alaskans and certainly makes life difficult for them paying those bills. What can we do, if anything, as a government to reduce the cost of health care for Alaskans?
This year we expanded the Anchorage Neighborhood Health Center. We need to expand the neighborhood health centers all across Alaska to provide competition to the private sector to get those costs down. I believe that's the best way that we can get the costs down for health care in Alaska is to provide a good alternative to what we have today.
Betty Davis.
Same question?
Yes.
It is my understanding that we are not doing everything that we should be doing to lower the cost of health care. One of the reasons that we have such high health care is because we have so many uninsured people. And when they go to the emergency room, someone has to pay that bill. We do get a certain amount of money from the federal government for that, but the rest is borne by us, the insurers. We have to pay for the other people that do not have the insurance. The one thing that would help us is to develop that health exchange that the government wants us to put into place under Obama's health care plan. Our governor has refused to take the money. He has until September to make up his mind because it's been offered again.
Okay, we're going to have to wrap it up right there. Sorry.
I will let it go at that.
Okay, and then we'll go to Daisha Eaton.
This is a question for Senator Davis. We're on the way to filling our jails to overcrowding. Is there an alternative? What do you propose?
Well, we do have a new jail that's been built and it's coming online. And it's surely not going to be full to capacity at the beginning, but the work has to begin not at that level. It has to begin with our young people. Too many of our young people are being put into institutions, are dropping out of school, not getting the education that they need. If we could keep them in school, we could keep them out of jail. That's one of the things that we need to do. We need to bring out prisoners that we have outside of the state back to the state. We need to have more involvement with our health care centers in order to meet the needs of those prisoners when they do come back.
Harry Crawford.
Yes. Could you repeat that question, please?
We're on the way to filling our jails to overcrowding. Is there an alternative? What can we do differently?
Well, I had a bill to get alcohol out of the hands of repeat offenders. And 85% of the people that we have in our jails and prisons are there on alcohol-related offenses. Many of those are very good people. They just can't handle alcohol. They've proven it over time that they can't handle alcohol. Get the alcohol out of the hands of those people and we'll have a lot less people in our jails and prisons.
Okay, now we'll go to my questions as the host. And it'll be the same question for each of you, and each of you will have 30 seconds to respond. So we'll start with Betty Davis. The question is this. Turnout is often very poor in primary elections. Very poor statewide, something like in the last election primary was under 34%. Why is that?
First of all, I do believe that we will probably have a low turnout in the primary race this particular year. When you have a presidential race, sometimes the primaries will pick up more. But a lot of people are not attuned to it. Even though they're registered voters, they really don't think they have to vote until November. They think that's where their vote really counts. And as I've been talking to people during this time of period, I'm saying I'm in a primary. It means that I have another Democrat that is challenging my seat. If I do not win this in the primary, I am out of the race completely. And so I think we need to do more to educate our constituents so they'll know exactly how important it is to participate in a primary race.
Harry Crawford.
I think that the closed primary system that we have now also suppresses the vote. I believe that people feel they've been disenfranchised because they can't vote anymore for everybody that's on the ballot. And I would like to see our primary system opened up again so that we don't have closed primaries.
Okay, let's follow up with Harry Crawford. What part of the Senate district is of residents that whom you've never represented? And what are you saying to them when you go out and meet them, and what are you hearing from them?
Eagle River Valley and downtown Eagle River is an area that I've never represented before. And I go out and mainly what I do is listen to what they tell me And it's a learning experience for me as I go through the district, finding out about what they can tell me. I get to talk to experts in their fields.
Betty Davis.
Yes, the changes that I have is that I picked up, as he said, downtown Eagle River, and I have had that before. I represented them when I was in the House. Ramona Burns and Kelly, Senator Kelly, was the one that represented that area. But not only that, I served on the school board for 12 years. And during those 12 years, of course, we represent all of the school district, which includes Eagle River. So this is not new to me all in its entirety. It's just that there are a lot of new people there that don't know about me. I've been getting my word out. I know one thing that they are concerned about is education. And I think that is a good thing.
Okay, we're going to have to wrap it up. Now we'll go to the candidate questions. And we'll start with Harry Crawford with your question for Betty Davis. She'll have 45 seconds to respond, and then you'll have 30 seconds to comment on her answer.
Okay. You know, both of us have been in politics for quite a while. But it's not about what we have done. It's about what we're going to do. And I would like to know what your vision for the next 10 to 20 years, this next generation of Alaskans come on. What's your vision for the state?
If you're talking about me having a vision for 10 to 20 years, I don't have a vision for 10 to 20 years because I don't plan to serve in the Senate that long. And I don't think you would at that point either. What I think that I have to offer is important, what I've done in the past, because it shows what I can do in the future. I think I represent all the people in this state, even though I might have a district where I live that I have to report back to. But the decisions that we make impact all the people in the state, so I represent them. I believe that we don't have enough females there. That's one of the other reasons that I'm running for this seat again. Out of the 60 people that we have 12 women. And that is not good, not because we do things better, but we do it different. And we need to be at the table.
Harry Crawford, brief comment.
You know, your focus over the past several years has been on health and welfare and education. And those are all important parts of our future. But also, we have to figure out how we're going to pay for it. And we're a one-trick pony here, and that's oil. And we have to expand our economy.
Betty Davis, your question for Harry Crawford.
You know, actually, I was not going to ask him a question. I was going to take the time for myself. But I just run across this article that you just had in the paper, that you had put out yesterday, I guess I got it. And you always make the statement that my father always said, show me, don't tell me. Mm-hmm. And I feel strongly about what he says there because I believe showing is better than just talking it. And you saying all these years that you've been serving the people. You've been here since 1972, but you have not been.
There's a question in there somewhere. What's the question for him?
The question is, what are you showing the public that you have done in the past and what you will be doing in the future?
Okay. My main area of expertise has been in the energy field and things like Fire Island, Bradley Lake, getting renewable energy into our grid. Those are areas where I've worked. Also, the red stripe bill for getting alcohol out of the hands of people that have shown that they can't handle alcohol. Those are some of the things. Another bill was the anti-stalking bill that I did. There have been a number of things over the years that I've been able to do in the legislature. And the fact that I've been able to work with Republicans to get that done.
Betty Davis, 30 seconds.
Yes. I appreciate the fact that you've been in the minority the whole time that you were in the House. And I know you tried your best to work with Republicans in order to get things done. I've looked at your record, and I know out of all the 10 years that you were there, you probably only passed one piece of legislation. You might have been able to do an amendment on a bill, but I don't see that as necessary showing that you have done a whole lot.
Okay, Harry Crawford, your question for Betty Davis.
Cook Inlet gas is not as plentiful as it once was, and it's certainly never going to be as cheap as it once was. How do you intend in the future to heat our homes and generate our electricity and pay for state government?
First of all, I don't serve on any of the energy committees, but I listen and try to keep up abreast of what's going on. The gas line that we are talking about, we are proposing to build, we can't make up our mind on how it should be done, but there's a lot of information that's being put out there now that can lead us in that direction. Everybody can't just be focused on oil and gas. There are other things that have to be taken care of. Education, labor issue, health and social services, and you put off like, well, you're doing those things, but how are we going to pay for them? We will pay for them the very way that we're paying for them now. We have lots of money, and we can pay for education.
Harry Crawford, 30 seconds.
Okay. Well, you know, we do have to replace Cook Inlet gas. We don't have a gas line from the North Slope. There are ways, there are types of energy that we have here in Cook Inlet, such as the Bradley Lake Hydro that can be expanded, Lake Chacachamna, the Susitna Dam. Those are things that can be done and should be done, and we need to make the commitment to move that forward.
Okay, Betty Davis, do you have a second question for Harry Crawford?
Actually, I really don't have a question for Harry. He said he's been here for since 1975.
75.
And I guess the question that I was asked, that you said you've been involved in helping the people in this state ever since 75. Could you tell me what you've been doing besides the 10 years that you say you served in the House to help the people? You came here in 75 for a job, I think.
Mm-hmm. I came for a job. I got on the executive board of the ironworkers and was negotiated with them and for them. I've been as a community council president before I got into the House. I've been involved in the community, and for the last 16 years, I've been involved in state politics. So, ran for Congress as well. You know, this is my ninth election. I've won five of them. So I have been involved in many ways.
Okay. Betty Davis, 15 seconds, 30 seconds.
I think it's admirable for the things that you have done, but I still think that because of my past history and the times that I've worked with you as your senator in this district, I feel that it was an injustice that you did when you decided to run against me, when you could have not done that. But everybody has a right to run, so we'll just let it go at that.
Harry Crawford, you have one final question for Betty Davis.
What would you do with our operating budget to try to save the state money? Where would you make cuts or efficiencies to save the state money?
You have 45 seconds to a minute.
First of all, I do not serve on finance. And so our budgets, you know, end up with the finance. But I do serve on some of the subcommittees. And the budget for health and social services and education and labor are the ones that I serve on. We look at those budgets very closely to see if they are valuable to us and do what we need to do to push that to the full finance committee in order to set the budget. But in the end, it's the finance committee that sets that budget that we end up voting on. We do, first of all, in the working group, we've saved lots of dollars during the time before we began to spend on education or anything else. So we have a history of showing that we are able to save and also meet the needs of the people in this district, in this city.
30 seconds, Harry Crawford.
For the same money that it costs to incarcerate a person for a year, here, we could send them to Harvard. What we need to do is prevent more prisoners from going into our prison system. We need to bring down the cost of Medicaid. Those are the two areas that are growing the fastest, and that's areas that we can save the state money, is by bringing down the cost of health care and to prevent people from having to go to prison.
Okay, now we'll go back to the format. We'll all ask some questions, and the recipient of the question will have 45 seconds to respond, and the other candidate will have 30 seconds to comment on the response. This is for Betty Davis. As you know, alcohol creates all kinds of problems in Alaska society. Both of you have commented on this here briefly. What kind of a job are those in local governments and state governments who are charged with regulating alcohol doing? And if they need to make changes, what are those changes?
At the state level, the only thing that I know that is done that's had a bill out there was to move the alcohol board from one department to another because they thought they would be able to monitor it closely. But there's always commissions and committees that's out there looking at the problem that we have in alcohol. What can we do to meet the needs of the people, especially in the rural countries, in the rural areas, because of high suicide rate? And a lot of those suicidal rates come up because of alcohol. So there's lots of work being done in that way, but there's always more to do.
Harry Crawford, 30 seconds.
Thank you. Our state leads in so many categories around alcohol that are just an embarrassment for our state. I mean, we have to do better. And my bill that prevents people from buying alcohol that have proven that they can't handle alcohol is one way that we can make it better statewide.
Okay. Daisha Eaton.
This is a question for Mr. Crawford. Both of you have talked about the importance of education. Education funding is the largest element of the state budget. Are we getting our money's worth?
I think that there are many ways that we can get more efficiencies out of our system. You know, we have telecommunications now that we can teach all across Alaska on one screen. It's a brave new world out there about education and how we're going to provide it. But I think that we're very top heavy here in administration, that we need to get more people into the classroom, get our K through 3 class sizes down from what they are right now. We'll do better if we do.
Betty Davis, 30 seconds.
The things that we could do to help in education, and I do think that we have a very good school system. We can do more, but one of the things that I'm proud of is the fact that the Anchor School District, who has most of the students throughout the state, 50,000 plus, they have adopted the Common Core standards, which the state has not decided to do that. They just adopted a new set, but not the core standards. That is one way that we can see the changes that need to be made in education. The other thing is, there's already a statute out there that said that 70% of the money that goes towards education should go to the classroom. But when we say to the classroom,
we'll have to leave
teachers.
It there and move on to our next question. Sorry about that.
All right.
Okay, this is for Harry Crawford. As you know, oil, provides the income for most of our budget, 80-something percent of the state budget. Yet oil prices fluctuate wildly. They've been as high as over 100. They are now quite a bit over 100, and as low as $3 a barrel. How do we responsibly budget in a world in which we need $100 barrel oil, yet it could be much lower than that?
First, we have to grow our economic pie. And that means get our gas to market as well, do value-added manufacturing with that gas so that we're not just a one-trick pony, which is oil here. And we can get more oil into the pipeline if we have a place to put our gas. That's one way. But we have the Beaufort and Chukchi Sea drilling that's happening and other places that the Great Bear Petroleum shale oil play is something that's very exciting. So we need to grow our pie and get more stable manufacturing, year-round jobs that last past the construction season.
Okay, Betty Davis on fluctuating oil prices.
The way I see it, we can't control that. But as a state, we do have savings and we should put as much money as we can. But we are getting 90% of our money from oils to pay for our bills. We need to expand in other areas, not just in the energy field, but for education, labor jobs, for building houses, buildings, or whatever need to be done. We have to expand it and not just depend on that. And besides that, they took that trip off to Norway, some of the energy folks, and they looked at how they do business over there, and their permanent fund has tripled more than ours in just a short time.
Thank you.
Why don't we do some of those things?
Thank you, Betty Davis. Daisha Eaton, you have one final question for our panel.
Yes, this is for Senator Davis. What is state government doing that it should not be doing?
I don't know anything that we as a state government are doing that we should not be doing at this point. If there are things that need to be looked at, we leave that to our constituents to bring it to our attention, or the administration will bring it to us. But what we are doing now is providing basic needed services that we have. And that's why we have a state government. Everything can be done individually or pushed off on the local government.
Okay, now we have a couple of final questions and then we'll get to closing statements. Oh, Harry, yeah, that left
he,
at
he
your
might
response.
Want to answer that one too. What is state government doing that it should not be doing?
And that, you know, I'm certain there are several things that shouldn't be done. One that jumps to mind right away is providing $2 million for the Great Alaska Shootout so people can buy tickets to. So I'm can't tell you all the different things that I think it shouldn't be doing, but one thing is we shouldn't be having prisoners down in Arizona or Colorado. They should be brought home.
Okay, in 30 seconds each, starting with Harry Crawford and then Betty Davis, what's the difference? We've heard so much about bipartisanship, but the Republicans and Democrats are different. What's the difference? Democrat is what? A Republican is what?
The difference that I've seen is that Republicans take a very individual look at every issue. How does that affect me and mine? And Democrats take a much more broader view. How does that affect us?
Betty Davis.
The way I see it, the main difference that there is between Republicans and Democrat, if you look at the state here, when the coalitions are formed, they're usually formed by Democrats coming to Republicans and ask them to join in. And that has worked over a period of years from time to time. We are too partisan. But, you know, the people that really control us is those that are not Republicans or Democrats. It's the one that's undecided about their votes, and you have to go to the middle because they make up the biggest population.
Now we'll go to closing statements. Harry Crawford, 1 minute, please.
Thank you. This is the most critical election we've had in a decade and will have for the next decade to come. It's time to take some really big decisions about Alaska's future. It's time to commit to a workable oil tax system that gets a fair share for Alaska and allows the oil companies to buy down their tax rate by investment that results in additional new oil into the pipeline. It's time to commit to building a gas pipeline and get it done. We have a window of opportunity that could close very rapidly. Our economic future depends on getting our gas to market and stabilizing our economy with manufacturing plants like the Agrium plant that provides stable year-round jobs and employment. My name is Harry Crawford, and I would appreciate your vote next Tuesday. Thank you.
Betty Davis, in a minute or less.
Thank you. I stand for families. I believe in making investment in education and building a future for our children. I stand for jobs, and I believe in putting people to work through rebuilding our transportation work and also to invest money in clean energy jobs. I stand for working people. I believe in the right to unionize and also in collective bargaining. I stand for women, equal pay, and access to birth control. If you stand for these same values, I invite you to join my campaign and vote for Betty Davis on August the 28th. Thank you very much.
Thank you, candidates for the Senate, and stick around for more candidates for the Alaska Legislature.
Hi, I'm Anna Fairclough, candidate for Senate District M, East Anchorage's District 25 and Eagle River's District 26. I'm a lifelong Alaskan with 25 years of community service. As a youth, I learned the value of hard work, helping my family build our home in the early 1960s. As a former Girl Scout and a current co-leader of Girl Scouts, you can count on me to do what's right. I know one person can make a huge difference in the lives of others. I've watched that every day at Standing Together Against Rape and now at Hospice of Anchorage. For the past 6 years, I've served on your Alaska legislature. Prior to that, I was elected 3 terms to the Anchorage Assembly. I was raised here, I work here, and I plan to retire here. I'm running for state senate because I believe in Alaskans' future, and I'm willing to do the hard work to make it happen. I need your help. We need to get past the political sound bites and really talk about what's important to Alaskans. As a member of the House, I've voted multiple times to provide resources to improve education and to make our communities a safer place to live and work. But we need to do more. We need a fiscal plan. Our financial future is currently tied to the price per barrel of oil and how much of that oil is flowing through the Trans-Alaska Pipeline. For the past 4 years, I've served on the House Finance Committee. I know what it takes to turn Alaska's economy and put people to work. You can count on me to help you provide for Alaska's future, but it's going to take a team that's willing to take up the hard issues. I have the work ethic, the experience, and I have the energy to get the job done. I'm the right choice and a conservative vote for Senate District M, Eagle River, and East Anchorage. I'd appreciate your vote on August 28th. Thank you.
Behind the scenes, inside the action, on top of every moment, PBS NewsHour is your all-access pass to the 2012 political conventions. On air and online with interviews, streaming video, live updates, and analysis. Join NewsHour anchors Judy Woodruff and Gwen Ifill for up-to-the-minute coverage. PBS NewsHour, Convention Central 2012.
We had been called up for the first time. Wildfires were getting close to homes. At that moment, I got my first taste of just how important the Guard is.
Be there for your community at NationalGuard.com.
You are watching KAKM in Anchorage, KYUK in Bethel, KTOO in Juneau, and listening on KSKA Anchorage.
Welcome back. Now we'll meet the Democrats in House District 25. They are Lynette Marino-Hinds and Pete Peterson. Now let's hear from Lynette Marino-Hinds. 1 minute, please.
Good afternoon, Mike. Good afternoon, Deesha. Thank you for welcoming us to the studio. My name is Lynette Marino-Hinds. I am a lifelong Democrat. I have lived in District 21 for over 21 years. And under the new redistricting of 25, I would wish to help the neighbors and our area by bringing a new legislative type of service to Juneau.
Thank you. Pete Peterson, 1 minute, sir.
Thanks, Michael. Good evening. I'm Pete Peterson, your East Anchorage representative. I'm running for re-election because you need a representative who puts your needs first. I'm working hard every day to make sure that East Anchorage has a strong voice in the legislature. I know how high gas prices are hurting Alaskan families and businesses. I've been leading the fight to ban gas price gouging. It's our oil, so Alaskans should not be getting overcharged at the pump. On the House Energy Committee, I worked with experts from across the state to craft a statewide energy policy to lower energy costs and create jobs for Alaskans. I've fought hard for important East Anchorage road and school projects. I'm proud that over the last 4 years, I've secured funding for repairs to DeBar, Muldoon, Northern Lights, and other neighborhood roads in East Anchorage. And the new East Side Fire Station is now up and operating. As a small business owner for over 20 years, I have a clear record of balancing budgets and creating jobs. I'm Pete Peterson, and I'm on your side.
Okay, now we'll go to the journalist questions. Each respondent will have 45 seconds, the person the question is directed to. The other candidate will then have 30 seconds to comment on the answer they've heard from their opponent. So we'll start with Lynette Marino-Hinds and ask, you said on the electronic version of the voting pamphlet that you're a strong supporter of Denali Kid Care. Tell us about that.
Yes, Denali Kid Care is for the low-income families of Anchorage, and it involves the care regarding the health and also different aspects like schooling. And I do strongly support it because I know that my grandchildren have had to go on it before. I know what that encompasses.
Thank you. Pete Peterson, 30 seconds on what you just heard.
Well, I am also supportive of Denali Kid Care, and I voted to increase Denali Kid Care as a member of the legislature. And one of the reasons for that is because there are many families that are put in a difficult situation. They make slightly more income than allows them to be allowed in the program, but yet they can't afford the help that their children need. And so they're forced to decide to maybe quit their job so they can qualify for Denali Kid Care. I don't think that's the way that it should be working, and I'd like to increase the threshold so that more people could qualify.
Thank you, Mr. Peterson. Now let's go to Daisha Eaton.
And this is a question for Mr. Peterson. You said in your statement that you want to lower individual taxes. How would you do that?
Well, we here in Anchorage pay property tax. That is the basic tax structure that we have. And the way that I've been advocating to lower that, it would be to increase the exemption for each individual on their property that they own. Right now, $20,000 is the maximum allowed, and there is a ballot initiative that'll be on the ballot next Tuesday, number one, that would raise that threshold to $50,000. And that we might have to also adjust some other regulations that are currently in law here in Anchorage for that to benefit everyone. But I do believe that that would be one way that we could lower some property taxes.
Lynette Marino-Hins, 30 seconds.
On the ballot, number one, it is pertaining to the property taxes. And I am a property owner. We have rentals. So what I was thinking that the age requirement, if it was lowered a little bit so that younger people could take advantage of it, that it might help out and also help to reduce the taxes.
Okay, this is a question for Pete Peterson. Mr. Peterson, for more than 30 years, we've been hearing about the gas line. The only people who've gotten jobs on the gas line are people who've been sent out to study it. Is there a gas line in our future or just more gas from politicians?
Well, I actually believe that we are closer right now than we have been at any time since I've been living here in Alaska, and I've been here for over 31 years. As a matter of fact, the very first morning that I was, after I arrived in Alaska, I was sitting at a friend's kitchen table drinking coffee, and I was looking out over Spinard Road and was commenting on how much traffic there was on Spinard Road. And my friend says, well, that's nothing. You just wait till next year when we start building that natural gas pipeline. So they have been dangling that carrot for a long time. I do believe there are markets for LNG in the Pacific Rim, Japan, and possibly the state of Hawaii. And I think we should be trying to make contracts with those places to buy our natural gas.
Thank you, sir. And now let's hear from Lynette Marino-Hins.
With the pipeline, the gas pipeline, I had start hearing about the talks before I ran for lieutenant governor in 2010. But I know that it requires development and it requires commitment. And to push it forward, there is a number of people that don't want it, but I believe that if we all stick together, that it will benefit everybody.
Thank you very much. We'll go back to Daisha Eaton with her next question.
And this is for Ms. Marino-Hins. You've been active in Native affairs, Native politics, and if you get to Juneau, what will be your top priority in that area?
My top priority would be, of course, because I've been past president of the Anchorage Tlingit and Haida Indians of Alaska twice and past president of the Alaska Native Sisterhood Camp 87, and also the past president of the Anchorage Cab Drivers Association. My top priority would be subsistence, because we only have 1%, that a little over 1%. I sat on the South Central Advisory Committee Board as an alternate, and in those talks I realized that we are very underrepresented by the state and by the federal government and the local regional areas. That would be my top priority. I talk to different people.
Okay, we're going to have to wrap it up.
Okay.
Sorry. Mr. Peterson, 30 seconds on what you just heard.
Well, I've actually been trying to lower the cost of living in rural Alaska by lowering energy costs. We have a renewable energy fund, and many areas in western and rural Alaska are building renewable energy projects, primarily wind right now. But it has been proven that also solar will work in many parts of Alaska. And so there's no silver bullet to lower energy costs. But if we can reduce 10% here and 20% there, eventually the cost of living will go down, and that will make it easier for rural Alaskans.
Thank you, Mr. Peterson. During this next section, your host will ask a couple of questions. And the first one will be for Lynette Marino-Hens. Each of you will have 30 seconds to respond to the question. And starting with you, the Permanent Fund has $41 billion approximately within its coffers. What, in your judgment, is the future of the Alaska Permanent Fund? 30 seconds.
The Permanent Fund, because of the generations that depend on it and because of the investments that were made, I do believe that our economy nationally and worldwide is in distress. So I believe that if we diversify and make sure that it's kept at a constant level, even if we have to give out lower permanent funds to do that, then I think that we will survive longer into the future.
Thank you. Mr. Peterson, 30 seconds.
Well, the permanent fund recognizes Alaska's role as the owner of our resources. We are the owner state. And the fact that we do get a permanent fund dividend every year is similar to the dividend that a stockholder would receive if they were owning stock in a corporation. In fact, I advocated and voted in favor of adding $2 billion to the permanent fund in this most recent legislative session.
Okay, thank you. And now we'll start with Mr. Peterson. As you well know from your experience in the legislature, our jails are full, they're overcrowding. We send many prisoners outside to Arizona in particular and other places on occasion. What can be done, if anything, to reduce the criminal population that's imprisoned, and is there any hope for diversion for new programs, or are we just going to have to continue building more jails?
Well, I think we could follow the lead that the state of Texas has taken, and they've invested in drug rehab and education, and they have reduced recidivism greatly, and so they've been able to stop building new prisons as often as they had been in the past. I think we need to follow their lead and do that here in Alaska. We do have drug and alcohol problems here that I believe could be addressed with more treatment.
Okay, Lynette Marino-Hens, 30 seconds, please, on this same topic.
With our overcrowding in the jails and the courts, I do know that there is inequality with the minority groups, but what I'd like to say is that I believe that as Alaska Native individual, I think that Alaska Native corporations should step up to the plate and offer the rehabilitation to be paid for by the Native corporations so that offenders will not offend again and make it cost effective.
Okay, we're going to have to stop there. We now go to the segment of the program where the candidates ask one another questions. We'll start with you, Lynette Marino-Hens, And you can ask a question to Mr. Peterson. He'll have 45 seconds to respond, and you'll have 30 seconds to comment on his response. So your question for Mr. Peterson.
When the gas prices start going up, at the national level, they went down. And why do you think that we can't get a stronghold with why our gas prices, even though we have our own refinery here, why do you think that we cannot hold them accountable for the prices we pay?
Mr. Peterson.
Well, thank you for the question. We here in Alaska have got two main refineries, one in North Pole and one in Nikiski, and they have created niche markets for themselves where they actually don't compete with the making of consumer fuels. And so therefore they're acting similar to monopolies, and that's giving them pricing power, and that's why the price of our fuel or gas at the pump has been traditionally higher in recent years than in other states in the nation. And right now we don't have a law against gas price gouging. There are laws against price fixing and collusion, and investigations have taken place, but they haven't proven
we'll
any
have to,
price
we'll
fixing.
We'll have to leave that there. Lynette Marino-Hens, you have 30 seconds to comment on what you just heard.
Mm-hmm. Will you be able to talk to, in Juneau, the other legislators if you win? And will you be able to set aside any differences in order to work for the good of all Alaskans, and so that we can enjoy lower gasoline prices?
I'm sorry, I think I misled you. It should have been a comment on his comment rather than a new question. We'll have to save that for another question.
Okay.
It's his turn to ask a question. Mr. Peterson.
Thank you, Michael. Lynette, as a cab driver, you must know how high gasoline prices are hurting Alaska families and businesses. Thanks to the refineries and their lobbying in Alaska, we don't have a law against price gouging. It's actually legal to gouge us at the pump right now. I've been leading the fight to ban gas price gouging, and I mean, it's our oil. So we should be not be getting ripped off at the pump. Do you support my bill to ban gas price gouging?
Yes, I have supported that bill along with Bill Wilikowski's bill. I had protested at different corners in Alaska with a small group of people in 2009 in the winter. Sometimes it got 30 below, and sometimes there was a blizzard doing this. But I was very dedicated to bringing attention to the high gasoline prices. And yes, I do support, if you have a bill that will help get it through, then I will support it.
Mr. Peterson, 30 seconds.
Well, thank you for your answer, and I agree that gas prices being as high as they are hurting our economy, and some action must be taken. That's why I've been fighting to ban price gouging. Something's wrong when we're paying higher prices than places like North Carolina, who have no oil at all. There are powerful special interests at work keeping the gas price gouging legal, and this important issue should not be given up on.
Okay. Lynette Marino-Hens, it's your opportunity to ask Mr. Peterson a second question.
Will you be able to represent Native Alaskans that live in the villages regarding the coastal management plan? And will you wholeheartedly listen to what they have to say regarding Pebble Mine?
Well, I actually have been fortunate enough to travel out to rural Alaska as a member of the Energy Committee when we had public hearings when we were formulating the long-term statewide energy plan. And I am aware that the Coastal Management Zone program was working effectively for 34 years in Alaska, and much development in our coastal areas took place during that time. And so I will be working as best I can to make sure that rural communities and rural Alaskans have a voice in how their area is developed.
Ms. Hens, 30 seconds.
As Alaska Native, I have a different view from the state's view, and I know that we have our own sovereignty. The state is pushing for theirs, And what I would like to see is more Native people involved in that process. So that's why I decided to run.
Okay. Pete Peterson, your next question for Ms. Hens.
Okay. Lynette, over the last 4 years, I fought hard to pass a law that would ensure that autistic children can receive the treatment that they need. I introduced this bill after meeting with the mother of a child with autism and learning that health insurance companies were denying coverage for children.
There's got to be a question in there somewhere.
Okay. Do you support this common sense law that will allow children to receive treatment without costing the state one penny?
45 seconds.
Yes. I know that as a grandmother, my granddaughter has autism, so it's a very, very, it's a very serious issue. And I know that under Denali Kid Care, that the health costs of trying to go through the whole process with the child is very spendy. But I do support Denali Kid Care and any coverage that the parents can get for the child.
Pete Peterson, 30 seconds, comment.
Well, thank you for your answer, Lynette, and I'm proud to have been a member of the legislature when we passed this law. Not only will children with autism get the treatment they need without bankrupting their families, but this bill will create jobs for autism service providers and lower special education costs for school districts across the state without costing the state of Alaska money.
Okay, now let's go to our last question. Lynette Marino-Hens for Pete Peterson. Your last question.
My last question would be, also, if you go back to Juneau and you see that there's inequality with women that want to go into business, and that it seems like there's one rule for men and one rule for women, and that the women are not really heard in the business aspect. Would you pay attention to that?
45 seconds, Mr. Peterson.
Well, yes, I know that we over the years have had inequality. Women have had pay inequality, or making up somewhere around 70 cents on the dollar of what men earn, and I've always been proud to represent men and women equally, and to try to not be prejudiced in any way towards one group over another. And I hope to continue that in that same fashion when I'm reelected.
Ms. Hens, 30 seconds.
In regards to the women's health, I know that with businesses, because I owned a business before, and it seems like when women are having to fight the now current Republican stand on the health issues, and including abortion, it just seems like it's the first thing that Republicans say is that they're against abortion.
We're going to have to leave it there and go back to Pete Peterson for his last question.
Thank you. Lynette, if you were elected to the legislature, how or if you could, would you try to reduce the budget in any way? And if you were going to do that, where would you try to cut it?
Where I'd try to cut it is in the contracts, the private contracts that the state, like for road maintenance and for building costs, actually not the building costs, but for construction wise, when you get a contract, I would think of those ways to try to cut some of the money out, because I know that the state does do an auditing 4 years in advance, so they already know what they're going to spend.
Thank you. Mr. Peterson, 30 seconds at the most.
Well, if I were going to try to cut the budget, I would look at the capital budget, because in many instances it contains pet projects that are not appropriate for the use of state money. For example, the state should not be spending money to buy plane tickets for people to fly in to watch the Great Alaska Shootout. Now, I'm a great fan of basketball and have attended the shootout for years and years, I just don't think that's an appropriate use of state money. Another thing we could do is to reduce printing costs. Every agency is constantly printing out manuals and reports and sending them out to members of the legislature and other parts of the
state. Okay, we're going to have to leave that there. Okay.
Thank you.
Now we'll go back to the reporters' questions. I'll ask the first one, and we'll start with Mr. Peterson. Mr. Peterson, 45 seconds, and then your opponent colleague will have 30 seconds to respond. Are we winning or losing the war on drugs?
That's a good question. I've read articles on both sides of that issue, and drugs and alcohol are major social and public safety problems here in Alaska. I believe we should vigorously prosecute criminals, but we also need to expand our drug and alcohol treatment opportunities. If someone does want to quit, they should have the chance and the opportunity to make that change in their life.
Okay, Lynette Marino-Hens, 30 seconds of comment on what you heard from Mr. Peterson.
Having a firsthand involvement with my own children, I know that the drugs is something that personally it's very hard to combat, but also if you're very dedicated at helping an individual, you'll stick it out. And I know that the legislation that they need to put in the words about the synthetic marijuana called Spice, because it's creating very dangerous explosive situations. And so it's one of the drugs that's very much important, especially here in Anchorage, because of the recent the Anchorage Police Department responses.
Okay, Daisha Eaton.
Well, this is a question for Ms. Marino-Hens. Education funding is the largest element of the state budget. Are we getting our money's worth?
I know that with education here in Anchorage, Alaska, I think that our opposing group tries to say that we overspend in the education department on transportation and also feeding needy children. But I think for the amount that we spend, I think that it's a wise investment into our future.
Pete Peterson, 30 seconds.
Well, our education system does need improvement. But recently, scores have been improving. Graduation rates are up. Dropout rates are down. One of the reasons I think that dropout rates are being reduced is because we have offered additional courses in Voc-Tech that had been canceled a couple decades ago when we had an economic downturn here in Alaska. So you have to offer a wide variety of courses to meet the interests of 49,000 students that we have in our Anchorage School District.
We may be running a little short on time, so I'm going to skip ahead to Daisha Eaton for your second question for Mr. Peterson.
Mr. Peterson, you say you are going to prevent gouging at those gasoline pumps. How exactly do you plan to do that? Can you spell it out for us a little bit more?
Well, thank you. We actually have got legislation that we introduced years ago that would allow the Attorney General to investigate the refineries to see if they are gouging us at the pump. It would also give the refineries a chance to clear their name, so to speak, to prove that they aren't gouging us. But since I started talking about this and we had a public hearing about this at the Legislative Information Office here about 6 or 7 weeks ago, the price at the pump has mysteriously gone down about 35 cents a gallon while crude oil has gone up over $10 a barrel. So it makes me believe that just talking about it actually has reduced prices.
Okay, Lynette Marino-Hens, comment on what you just heard.
I think that, you know, being in Juneau and being amongst the lawmakers, I believe that what I heard was that why it's so high is because they have to put an ingredient into the gasoline. They have to ship it off and then ship it back. And you said that, you know, that the high cost of gasoline, that the price gouging, okay. if you're able to actually get the facts out, then I think you might have to go with further experts on that and bring them in.
We have one final question here, and this is for Lynette Marino-Hins. This is a 30-second answer. Let's make them quick. Mm-hmm. Are we spending enough money on mental health? Are we spending enough public money on mental health?
On mental health? I don't think that we're spending enough money on mental health. I know that there's money set aside under the Mental Health Trust Authority. And from what I see, in regards to the mental health court, is that there's good people working with the people that have those illnesses. But I think that if they have lower housing available to them, I think that that's very
important. We'll have to leave it there. Pete Peterson. 30 seconds or less.
I believe that we do need to invest more in mental health. And we'd be better if we had more mental health physicians in Alaska. But much progress has been made recently in treating depression, not only with drugs, but with also therapy. And so I think that if we did invest more, that we could have better results.
Okay, let's go to our closing statements. Lynette Marino-Hins, a minute or less.
Please vote for me for State House District 25. I do know that I'm a committed person, and I have been working a long time in the taxicab industry, so I have had a lot of public input into what has been going on with all issues. So I would like to say thank you, and thank you to the people that voted for me for Lieutenant Governor in 2010. Thank you very much.
Pete Peterson, briefly, your closing statement.
Well, thank you for giving me this time to talk with you. I'm Pete Peterson, and it has been my honor to serve as your East Anchorage representative for the last 4 years. I'm asking for your vote because you need a representative who puts your needs first. I've been working hard every day, and I'm ready to go back to Juneau to keep fighting for you. I moved to Alaska 31 years ago because of all the opportunities Alaska had to offer. I want to make sure that those same opportunities are available for the next generation. I work for you. I want to hear what is important to you. Please call or email me with your thoughts, ideas, or concerns. Or you can go to my website, www.petepeterson.net. And I'm a Peterson with all E's. This election is about the future of Alaska and whether the destiny should be controlled by Alaskans or special interests.
Okay, we'll have to.
I would appreciate your vote on Tuesday. Thank you.
Thank you. And now we'll meet the Republican in House District 25.
Hello, my name is Representative Lance Pruitt. I'm Republican running in the new District 25, which is the Tudor-Muldoon Curve area, a little bit of East Anchorage over there. It's been a true honor representing East Anchorage over these past couple years, and I think over the next few years, we'll be able to go past just scratching the surface. I was born and raised in our district, and both of my boys were also born and raised in our district. My parents, my sister, my father-in-law, they all live in our district. I've literally lived my whole life in our district. So who else has the understanding and knows the history of our neighborhood? Like someone that grew up learning to ride bike on our streets, played on our trails, watched his first movie at Totem Theater, delivered papers to our front door, or even worked building houses that were constructed in our neighborhood. Now I want to see our kids grow up with great opportunities. And those opportunities only come if we act now to make ourselves competitive to investment in the eyes of the rest of the world. We must get started in building a gas line for the security of our city as well as our state. As co-chair of Energy, I helped move forward legislation to bring energy relief to Alaskans throughout the state by investing in infrastructure and in turn create jobs. I introduced legislation to defend your hunting rights as well as the hunting rights of future generations. I pushed hard to ban harmful substances that were being sold legally on our streets and in our stores. I have and will continue to be honest with you. I will not claim credit for a project that was included in a bill that I did not vote for. I supported using our money wisely by investing in roads for our district, also making sure there's tools for our teachers, and promoting public safety. I will continue to fight for the future of East Anchorage because it needs an honest voice in the legislature with a purpose. For that reason, I ask you to join me in standing up for our future. I'm Representative Lance Pruitt, and I'm asking for your vote.
Now let's meet the Republican candidates in House District 26, and we'll hear their opening statements, starting with Laura Reinbold. 1 minute, please.
Hello, my name is Laura Reinbold. I was born and raised in Alaska. I have a Bachelor of Science in Business Administration. I worked in the healthcare industry for over 15 years. Successfully, I've helped manage Alaska's healthcare. I've also spent about 10 years in the education, piloting my own children through public and private education. Personally, I'm married to a petroleum engineer who was also born and raised here. We've raised two wonderful boys. They're academic scholars and varsity athletes. Why am I running? I'm running because I'm concerned about our state. We are at a very important crossroads where we need bold leadership in our state. I have successfully managed businesses. I have had hands-on experience in education. I'm concerned about the decline in oil, and I'm very concerned about our budgets. Juneau needs less politics. It needs bold conservative leadership with business experience. I'm Laura Reinbold, and I'm running for State House in Eagle River.
Thank you. Now let's turn to Kim Skipper.
Hi, I'm Kim Skipper, candidate for State House for District 26, Eagle River Valley, and Highland Mountain. Thank you for inviting us to the KAKM Candidate Forum. My husband Steve and I moved to Eagle River in 1985 with the Air Force, and this year celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary. I have over 30 years accounting experience in the private sector, with 13 years of management experience with large law firms, an operations and maintenance project, and an aviation service company. And it includes work as a business manager on the water sewer operations and maintenance project in the Arctic, giving me a breadth of experience throughout the state of Alaska. My last management position before leaving the private sector to serve Eagle River and work with Representative Fairclough was in accounting and human resources with the largest aviation support company in the world, with assets over $1 billion. I spent over 4 years working with Representative Fairclough, where I managed constituent relations, Health and Act legislation, and worked on the operating and capital budgets. I have a firm grasp of the legislative process, proven results for Eagle River, and can hit the ground running. I am pro-life, pro-business, and pro-military, and look forward to sharing why I am the candidate that can best serve Eagle River.
We're going to have to leave it there, and now go to Larry Wood. 1 minute, sir.
Thank you very much. I am Larry Wood. I'm running for House District 26 in Eagle River. I'm here tonight because of you and the magnificent land of opportunity we've all come to enjoy all these years. But we're faced with a very important and major economic issue. As you evaluate candidates tonight, I'd like you to consider three things. What are their values? What are their experience? What is their ability to communicate and to bring people together? So far as values are concerned, I'm a conservative. I'm pro-life, I'm pro-business, and I'm certainly pro-Second Amendments and pro-Eagle River. I think it's very important to look at a person's experience to determine what have they done, what indicators do they have that their future performance would be the same. And in that regard, I've done a lot. I've been Chief Assistant Attorney General for the state. I've been General Counsel with the Alaska Railroad. I've also been Assistant General Counsel with Alaska Pipeline. I'm here tonight to talk about what we need to do to make our state a brighter future.
Okay, now we're going to turn to the segment of the show where the host and panelist, Daisha Eaton, ask questions of the candidates. First question will be for Laura Reinbold, and perhaps one of the other candidates will comment on your answer. In your election material, your pamphlet or the electronic pamphlet, you say there's too much politics in Juneau and not enough business sense. Explain what you mean by that.
Well, bottom line is in Juneau, as you know, we have not been getting very good results the last 5 years. We have not increased oil production. Our budgets are out of control. There's too much politics down there. They need people with private sector business management experience that know how to create efficiencies in government, how to withhold some of this out of control spending, and how to partner with people who want to do business in Alaska and move this state forward. If you continue to elect the same type people, you're not going to see different results.
Either one of you, Mr. Wood, wants to comment.
Thank you very much.
30 seconds.
Any one of us that goes down will be a freshman, so therefore they won't have positional power. And what that means, we'll be relying on our personal persuasion ability to bring people together. Of late, I've been doing more and more mediations, civil litigation and others, and I think I've got the skills and the experience to help bring people together.
Okay, Daisha Eaton has a question.
This is for Ms. Skipper. You say in your statement that you're going to make Alaska competitive. How do you plan to do that?
Well, the bottom line is, and for our state, we need to put oil in the pipeline. If we cannot make ourselves competitive and bring investment back to Alaska, we're going to be having diminishing declines every year. The whole point is to make Alaska competitive, to be whether it's reducing and changing the state's ACEs, the oil tax structure, to find meaningful compromise where we have a win-win for the state and a win-win for the oil companies, and bottom line, fill up the Trans-Alaska Pipeline, which is where 90% of our operating budget is paid by oil money.
Go ahead.
I agree. I think that's our number one priority. We're faced with, as I mentioned before, the greatest economic challenge of our time here in Alaska. So you bet. Let's provide some incentives for our legacy fields to be developed, and let's move on to a brighter future.
Daisha Eaton has another question.
And this is for Mr. Wood. You say that you want you want a new fiscal plan. What are you going to do to get that?
Well, thank you. I come out of the business community, and I'm uncomfortable with the notion that on a state level we don't have an effective fiscal plan. So step number one would be to try and pull people together to develop one. What we've got going on now is like a school bus with everybody with their own steering wheel. Consequently, I've learned in business that you need to have a team made up of people that are like-minded. So I hope to join our wonderful delegation from the Eagle River area to help make that happen.
Yes.
I was fortunate to work with Representative Fairclough when we were starting the recent fiscal policy plan and spent many years in organizing it and gathering support, whether it's with the administration and even trying to reach out to the Senate to let the population and let the people in Alaska know what the facts are that we are truly declining in oil and how we can rectify the situation.
We're going to, only one person could respond during that segment. We'll make sure you get some other time later. This is a question that I'm going to ask. I'm going to have three questions for all of you. It's the same question for all of you, and I will, in the first round, pick you alphabetically, and then we'll rotate you. So the first question here is a health care question, and that question is, what, if anything, can the state legislature do and the governor to reduce the cost of health care for individual Alaskans? And we'll start with Ms. Reinbold. You have 30 seconds, as do the others.
Well, I bring unique qualifications to the table because of my extensive experience in the healthcare industry. There's several things. We need better healthcare initiatives. We need to embrace the governor. The governor right now is trying to wrap his arms around healthcare costs. We definitely need to do that. We need to institute better healthcare savings accounts, and we need to provide better preventative care in the state.
Kim Skipper, 30 seconds, same question.
I support the governor's proposal to first now get rid of the entitlement programs for the new Obamacare coming out. And we do need preventive measures. We also could use tort reform and different ways to streamline healthcare government, whether it's through fraud and fraud, trying to weed out the fraud that is in the Medicare, Medicaid part of the state budget. And like you said, Ms. Reinbold said earlier, get rid of the, start using preventative
measures.
Okay,
we'll have to wrap that up right there. Mr. Wood, 30 seconds.
I agree with those answers. I would add we need to look at ways we can help support the governor. I agree with his decision on healthcare exchanges. I think we need to be looking more at the cost of emergency room care and try and move people from emergency primary care to other resources. We look, as I think Laura mentioned, tort reform is a big one. So I agree with that as well.
Okay. This time we'll go to Ms. Skipper first, then Mr. Wood. And the question is this. as you know from your experience, Alaska has long been a recipient of large amounts of federal money and usually ranks first or second in per capita federal dollars that come into the state. What provisions or plans should we make for what seems to be an inevitable decline in federal dollars coming into Alaska? 30 seconds.
Well, a couple of things. They were trying to do a couple years ago a transportation fund subcommittee for the inevitable reduction in building our road infrastructure out. But as the more the federal government, we get from the federal government, more our hands are tied, whether it's in entitlement programs, that's less that we can take and streamline the rest of our government. So I think we really need to be cautious on how much we take for the federal government and what the government money is to be used for. I mean, infrastructure to defense, that right now the formulas that are driving the education, Medicare and Medicaid are really binding our hands, and the more we take, the more
Thank
it's difficult.
You. Let's go to Mr. Wood.
Thank you for the question. I agree with Kim, but I would also add that it again gets back to our oil production issue and what can we do to provide more incentive for more production in legacy fields and in new fields. And I agree with the governor. I think the more that we receive money from the government, the more we're going to feel obligated and are obligated to follow their plans and their ideas for our state. We need to talk about diversification of our economy. That's another means that we can raise revenues. But in the short term, it's about oil revenue.
Ms. Reinbold.
Yes, I'll have to agree. I think it's about oil. Oil funds about 90% of our government right now, our state government. We must grow our economy. And oil is right now where it's at. We need to partner. We need to put more stable taxes. We need to put fair taxes. They are not fair right now. In addition, I was on Governor Parnell's transition team for energy, resources, and the environment. I have been tapped because of my experience. And bottom line is the oil, we need to partner with the industry and move this state forward. And we need bold business leadership with a proven record in Juneau.
Okay, this is a question from Mr. Wood, and then we'll go on from there. I noticed in your electronic election pamphlet that you emphasized that you're strongly anti-abortion. Do you think anti-abortion should be criminalized and people who engage in it, the women and doctors, prosecuted by the law? 30 seconds.
You know, I think the first step is going to be to have a conversation. And one of the things I want to talk about is the sanctity of human life. And I think we begin there. We've had, what is it now, 40 years of Roe versus Wade. So we've had a population that have been accustomed to that. And I'm one of the persons that would say, let's change the way we deal with abortion. Let's go pro-life. We can talk about the issue you raise later, but I think the first step is to find out what can we do to save lives.
Ms. Reinbold.
I was part of the initiative, the Prop 2 initiative, and abortion is used way, way too often right now. It should not be used as a form of birth control. I am a very much of a pro-life candidate, and I think we need to find ways to prevent the pregnancies in the first place. We need to teach individual responsibility and prevention, and I do believe in the sanctity of human life.
Should it be criminalized, yes or no?
No.
Okay. Kim Skipper.
I'm also pro-life, and I believe it's reaching out to the young people and others that are becoming pregnant. We have a great heart-to-heart in our community who's doing fine work and trying to reach out to the young kids and educating them that there are resources out there to help you through your pregnancy. I don't think abortion should be legal. I think it should be illegal. And we should need to teach and embrace the young ones that are looking toward that method of contraception, and like I said, reach out to places like Heart to Heart where they're able to
briefly
educate.
Should be criminalized, yes or no?
I don't believe they should be criminalized.
Okay. Now the candidates will have an opportunity to question one another. Ms. Reinbold, you will go first for a candidate of your choosing, either one of your opponents.
Okay, I'm going to start with Larry. Larry, this is a yes or no answer. I know you prefer to wiggle out of those, but do you support right to work, yes or no?
Well, Laura, I don't have a tradition of wiggling out of questions, but yes, I do like to explain them. And on right to work, I don't believe now is the time to take on the labor unions. We need everybody in the boat rowing really hard to try and resolve a very important economic issue.
Okay, well, an example of, did you answer his question, yes or no? Kim and I both did that.
Was the question criminalization of abortion? I said no.
Okay, and second, so right now you're saying no in regards to right-to-work legislation.
I think now is not the time. It's been attempted three times in the last 13 years. It hasn't gone out of committee.
Ms. Reinbold, if you have a comment on his answer. 30 seconds.
In regards to the right-to-work legislation?
Yeah, right, to your question.
Okay, I do believe that we need to look and to consider right-to-work. Right now, I don't want to be promising a lemon pie and delivering a cookie in our future. It's very, very important that right now with declining oil production, that we absolutely look at saving costs right now. I think that the IBEW is a great union. They provide mentorships and they do wonderful things for this community. That's a great example of a union that is doing good for Alaska, and I would definitely support
it. Okay, we're going to have to leave it here. Kim Skipper, your question for one of your opponents.
My question is for Ms. Reinbold. You call yourself a conservative, but I'm puzzled by the inconsistency. Why are you advocating for a $2 million bridge or over the Yosemite Drive for the skiers when they don't have to take their skis off and cross the road?
Okay. That's a great question. First of all, it's absolutely incorrect. The estimates are far, far less than half of that, and I'm a passionate believer in infrastructures for our community. Our community has built almost 8 kilometers of trails, almost fully funded with private industry donations and community sweat equity. I'm very proud of that wonderful trail system that has provided great ski trails for our community, for our athletes, and I passionately support a little bit of seed money. It's called a public-private partnership, and I'm very supportive of those type of projects.
Okay, Ms. Skipper, you have a comment on
okay.
that.
Okay, a lot of love about the ideas to use volunteers. I know it works in some less complicated projects, but I don't believe it's practical for this project over a city road with all kinds of safety issues and the need to build it with the proper engineering standards and safety standards. If the state funds it, the state sets the rules.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there. Mr. Wood, your question for one of your opponents.
Let me ask a question from Laura. Laura, one of your brochures says that you're the only conservative candidate with serious management and business experience. I think you know I've been general counsel at the Alaska Railroad when we took a federal agency into being a business enterprise. So my question for you is, do you think I'm a candidate with serious management and business experience?
45 seconds.
I bring experience to the table with private entities. I believe that the state, that is an example of state bureaucracy. I bring experience to the table in regards to managing small businesses. I have Fortune 500 experience in management and also have helped manage a small business right here in Alaska. I have a proven success record, and talking about state government, that's a completely different set of games.
Larry Wood, you were your
response? Laura, let me add this. I was Assistant General Counsel of the Alaska Pipeline, which is a business, and responsible for not only things like pipeline procurement, strategic reconfiguration, representing the company in Juneau. So I'm perplexed by your answer. And by the way, the railroad was transformed from a federal agency to a privately...
We've got to leave it right there. You have an opportunity to ask another question. Okay, you can... follow up on your previous discussion if you want, but it's your turn to ask a question, and whoever you want to respond.
Okay, I will go for Larry once again. Larry, we have a very interesting situation right now in education. There are very, very high costs associated with our education. This is a twofold question. How do you plan on bringing the cost down in education? And two, a very direct answer, do you support vouchers and school choice?
You know, Laura, those are good questions, and I've been following the Mayor's Summit on Education, and if you've been able to hear his presentation, I agree with it. We're throwing a lot of money at education, but the results have been very disappointing. To answer your question, yes, I'm going to support this proposal to put on to the ballot proposal to review whether or not we're going to be able to fund constitutionally private schools, because I think we need to consider all of the options. Diversification within the public education, and perhaps even the question you ask about vouchers.
Ms. Reinbold, 30 seconds.
I believe right now we are facing a very uncertain future. We have very low oil productions, and unfortunately the unions, such as the NEA, are not supporting the industry right now. They need to understand what funds them, and our oil is declining, our budgets are up. We're headed for a crisis. We must get our financial house in order so we can have money for education. If not, we're going to have to tighten our belts.
Kim Skipper, your question for someone at the table.
Mine is for Ms. Reinbold. You, like Larry indicated a little while ago, you have extensive business experience. You say you're rooted in the private sector. However, the last 12 years, 10 to 12 years, you've been in the public sector as a wonderful substitute school teacher with a balance of maybe 3 or 4 years in management. My resume has over 13 years of management with various sectors in the private sector. So. How do you account for the private sector versus the public sector experience?
Okay, first of all, I don't consider teachers. Teachers are getting in, and that's why I bring such a wonderful, unique blend to the table. I have hands-on experience in the classroom. I understand the challenges in the classroom. I want to bring more resources to the classroom and less of it getting caught up in bureaucracy. I bring very unique experience with healthcare, small business management, and also hands-on experience in education. That's why I believe I'm uniquely qualified for this job.
Kim Skipper, 30-second follow-up.
Well, the point is you're expounding on all your business management skills and how you diminish those, seems like, every time you try to talk to us about your school activities, which I think are fabulous, but your management of a Fortune 500 company, the operations of a Fortune 500 company up here in Alaska.
Okay, now we'll go to Mr. Wood, your opportunity to ask a final question.
Thank you very much. Kim, my question is for you. I've really enjoyed the Facebook advertising. We've discovered how that works. One of your ads says you're the only candidate with the experience to hit the ground running. As you know, I'm hopeful I'll win the primary on Tuesday. But should I do that, would you be willing to agree that I can hit the ground running when I get to Juneau?
Well, I put mine on there because I am the one that has legislative accounting and a military background, and I think it's the right combination of experience to serve. And yes, I can hit the ground running from day one, having been there and worked on various committees and helped carry legislation. I think I have the experience. I think you'll have a learning curve.
Okay. 30 seconds, Mr. Wood.
Well, I'm just going to push back a little bit. I have been in Juneau a lot with my various roles as Chief Assistant Attorney General, General Counsel of the Alaska Railroad, and of course my position with Alaska Pipeline. I failed to mention being chair of the Alaska Public Offices Commission.
Okay, so, we're going to have to leave it there. I'm sorry. This is kind of a crowded schedule.
Thank you.
Now we'll go to the journalist questions, and I'll ask the first one. It's for Mr. Wood, and one of you can comment it quickly if you would like. I've heard a lot of complaining about the cost of gasoline at the pump. Is there any way to reduce the cost of gasoline at the pump for Alaska motorists?
Well, again, it's about supply, and I think as we see the throughput continue to decline, we're going to be seeing more and more of this supply issue. What you're also talking about is a much bigger picture. We've considered the idea of more competition and the importance of maybe providing incentives for other companies to sell gas in our community as well, so that we can try and reduce the cost of what we're paying at the pump.
I think Ms. Reinbold got shorted the last time around. Do you have a comment on what Mr. Wood is saying?
You know, I definitely believe that there's things that we can do. We need to get our gas to market, period, in Alaska. I mean, there's been so much talk. We need some action. That's why we need a leader that has a proven record in the community and in businesses in order to move that forward. We need more business savvy, less politics. We need to get refineries, and whatever way we can, we need to get our gas to market.
Daisha Eaton.
This is a question for Ms. Skipper. We've heard a lot of talk about getting more oil in the pipeline. Nobody seems to be arguing about that. many people also say that Alaska needs to diversify its economy, and one way is through renewable energy projects. We have some going on here in South Central Alaska. Will you be supportive of those type of projects? And if so, which ones here?
Well, I'm supportive of renewable energy. The problem is going to be coming to how much is it going to cost? And with declining production and throughput through taps, that means money going to the state revenue is declining. So we'll have less money to do those products. I'm a firm believer in the private sector being able to do those tasks, those jobs. They're the ones who, you know, if the pencil's out on paper and it's economical, the private sector would be doing it already. The state is having to subsidize a lot of those things right now, and I think with the challenges that we have in the coming years, we're not going to be able to fund those. The challenge is going to be getting the bottom line to get more oil in taps.
Anybody here want to, yes, briefly.
Thank you very much. I agree with Kim. I think it is going to be about trying to do what we can to increase oil production. I'm excited about the wind power we're seeing developed on Fire Island. There's talk of the methane gas being captured now out at the city landfill. Those are wonderful ideas, but in the short term, we need to do what we can to increase oil production.
Okay, we're going to, we have one more round of questions before we get, and I'm going to go to you first, Ms. Reinbold, so you're going to get a chance to be on camera right now. And that is, at the present time, oil prices are around $100 a barrel, but they have been down to as low as $3 to $5 a barrel 20 years ago. Oil's essential to our state budget. It's the backbone of 85% of our spending. How do we protect ourselves against fluctuating oil prices? 30 seconds, please.
Well, the bottom line is we need to provide a stable and fair environment here in Alaska, which we have not been doing. We are rated 50th in 2010 by CNBC's report. We need to be more competitive here in Alaska. We also need to cap our spending. Our spending is out of control as a state. We need to cap it. We need to get it more in line with the national averages in order to have a future for Alaska.
Let's go to Ms. Skipper here next, and then you, Mr. Wood. Same question.
We are having, right now, an $8 to $9 billion operating budget. 55 to 60% is from federal reserves or federal funding and formulas, Medicare, Medicaid, education. We have got to, I'm a proponent of zero-based budgeting, find a more sustainable rate to base our budget on, not $106 a barrel like we did in July 1st, but a more sustainable number, and weed out inefficiencies and, you know, personnel that are on the books that are not in the offices and sitting there, and just, you know, try to go back to a zero-based budgeting system where we can actually identify where we're spending all the dollars.
Mr. Wood.
Yes, I agree with that wholeheartedly, and also with what Laura said. It's, you know, we don't control the cost or the price of oil on the world market. We cannot control that. Therefore, we have to look at ways that we can reduce and trim our own spending and perhaps diversify our state income in ways that don't tax our people.
Now we'll go to our closing statements from our candidates of 1 minute each, starting with Laura Reinbold. 1 minute, please.
My name is Laura Reinbold. I was born and raised in Alaska. I care very much about the future of our state. Right now, we're at a crossroads. We have very high budgets. We have very low oil production right now. And if we keep electing the same type people, we are not going to see change in Juneau. We need someone with proven business experience, someone who understands the challenges of the education system. We need somebody who absolutely is committed to the future of Alaska. We need to send less lawyers to Juneau. We need to absolutely send bold conservative leadership. We need change in Juneau. If you want to see change in Juneau, please elect a bold conservative leader. My name is Laura Reinbold. Please visit my website, reinboldforalaska.com. Thank you.
Kim Skipper, 1 minute closing.
Thank you again for the opportunity to be here. I am running because I care deeply about Eagle River, a wonderful family-friendly community surrounded by the beautiful Chugach Mountains. However, I am concerned about the future of Alaska. We face many challenges with the decline in oil production, jobs leaving the state, and an unsustainable operating budget. As your representative, I will make Alaska competitive by removing the roadblocks to oil production and investment in Alaska, by creating a business-friendly environment, by responsibly developing our resources, and by building a natural gas pipeline to supply energy to all Alaskans. I will use my years of financial and accounting experience to address the uncontrollable growth of the Alaska's operating budget. I will make sure we have jobs for all Alaskans. I will ensure our children have a quality education so they can live, work, and achieve the opportunities we all have over the years. I work with the legislature for Eagle River and know the issues and the importance of preserving the unique characteristics that make our community special. I will listen and represent the interests of our community. I'm the only candidate with accounting, legislative, and a military background, the right combination of experience to serve Eagle River. I would appreciate your vote on August 28th, and you can visit www.kimskipper.com. Thank you.
And finally, let's hear from Larry Wood.
Thank you very much. Appreciate being here this evening. I started my conversation tonight by mentioning the importance of three ingredients to any strong candidate: values, experience, the ability to communicate, and to bring people together. I'm tired of the stalemate in Juneau. We need to move on. We're facing our most important economic issue, at least in my history with this state. I want to speak to something that Laura said. She said we don't need more lawyers in Anchorage. Well, in Juneau, she's correct. We have 7 lawyers in Juneau. They're all liberal Democrats. We don't have one single Republican lawyer. Send a conservative Republican business attorney to Juneau and give that some consideration. And I might add, the experience I've had, my ability to bring people together, my interest in seeing our state go forward into a very successful and bright future. I hope you'll consider me as you vote on Tuesday. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Larry Wood. Now we'll hear from candidates in House District 26, followed by the Republican candidate for Senate Seat K.
Hello, my name is Roberta Goffner. I'm running for the State House in District 26 as a Democrat. District 26 is a new district which covers Eagle River Valley, Highland, part of downtown Eagle River, and all of Meadow Creek. I'm a third-generation Alaskan, and as I've grown up with the state, I've watched the development of our oil and natural resources and watched our population grow. I think that watching out for our families and being family-centered is a very important part of being a legislator in Alaska. What do I think is important? I think that we need to watch out for our education. We need excellence and accountability in our education. We also need to make sure that all the decisions made in Juneau look at our natural resources and that we get the maximum amount of return for our human, financial, and natural resources. We also, as a state, need to make sure our legislators are looking at all their decisions to determine how they affect the families in our district. Eagle River is one of the most beautiful districts in the state, and we're very fortunate that we have such a great standard of living out there. So as we go into the next session, it's going to be important to have legislators that are representing Eagle River and our families in Eagle River. We also need to remember that Eagle River has a large military community. Watching out for our military community and helping them as they serve their country is a very important part of being a resident of Eagle River. I also believe that once those military retire, that they should get the benefits that they earned as a part of their service. Again, my name is Roberta Goffner. I'm running from District 26 in Eagle River, which is Highland and the Eagle River Valley. You can find more information about me on my website at www.electrobertag.net. Thanks for your support.
Behind the scenes, inside the action, on top of every moment, PBS NewsHour is your all-access pass to the 2012 political conventions. On air and online with interviews, streaming video, live updates, and analysis. Join NewsHour anchors Judy Woodruff and Gwen Ifill for up-to-the-minute coverage. PBS NewsHour, Convention Central 2012.
We had been called up for the first time. Wildfires were getting close to homes. At that moment, I got my first taste of just how important the Guard is.
Be there for your community at NationalGuard.com.
You are watching KAKM in Anchorage, KYUK in Bethel, KTOO in Juneau, and listening on KSKA Anchorage.